Okay, so tonight's topic, one of my very favorite, very, very, very favorite Buddhist words is papancha. Do you know this word? Papancha. I love this word so much. It basically means a mental proliferation. Have you experienced this? Like, the mind on a loop over and over and over, papancha. It's one of my favorite teachings too, but I particularly like the word. So, this is from Tibetan Buddhist, from Nösholm Khen Rinpoche. Rest in natural great peace, this exhausted mind, beaten helplessly by karma and neurotic thoughts, like the relentless fury of the pounding waves in the infinite ocean of samsara. Rest in natural great peace. So I'm wondering if you can relate to this phrase, this exhausted mind. Are you familiar with an exhausted mind? We exert so much effort, so much of the time. We exhaust ourselves, in particular by creating, I would call it mental fabrications or papancha. So tonight's talk, maybe, I don't have to think about it, but it might be called the papancha factory, right? Like just the papancha factory. It's here it is. The papancha factory. So we could talk about papancha as being a proliferation of thought and stories and narratives. It could be a conceptual proliferation, but you could also think of it as a emotional conceptual proliferation because somehow they come together. Like when my mind is worrying, it's stuck in a loop and it's going over and over and over some story again and again and again. There's often an emotional field behind it too, that the mind and the emotions aren't separate, that they interact and influence each other, that they are part of the system that is the citta, the mind. So the proliferation of thoughts, stories, and narratives, and I have to say, I would bet more money than I even have that every single one of you is very familiar with this experience at some point, right? Like at some time or another. It's something that everybody goes through. So we could think of it as like the spreading out of thoughts. Like some little thing might happen and then the thoughts spread. So I was thinking about this talk this morning, and I was actually thinking about it yesterday and today, and I woke up this morning and I had like a weird sore spot on my side, and I'm like, what's going on? And I lifted up my shirt and there was a tick embedded in me. And I had the wonderful opportunity to witness my mind going into a proliferation about story, about what was going to happen or what might happen and what I need to do and what should I do and what could I have done different. And it just kind of goes and go proliferation, right? Like a papancha, it's a spreading, the thoughts spread and spread. So when we talk about papancha, often there could be a core or a little nugget of something that's true, right? Like I have a tick bite. Ticks can be serious and I need to tend to it. That's pretty simple, right? Call the doctor, go to urgent care, see what's going on. That's pretty simple. But that does, it didn't stop there, right? There was papancha. It came like, oh, and then I Googled, like, what is Lyme's disease symptoms? And then I started thinking I had Lyme's disease symptoms. And I start, right? Like this kind of papancha, this proliferation of story, of narrative, and that there's some emotion often behind it or tied in or mixed in with like a big soup. So when this happens, it's like we are an insect caught in a spider's web. The more agitated we become, the more tangled we get in that web. And this creates real suffering and a kind of torment for the mind, right? So the mind, with our practice, we're learning how to rest this exhausted mind. We could think of papancha as being like obsessions, this obsessional thinking. That might, like I said, it might start with a little nugget of something, but the mind takes it and runs with it. And then what happens when that happens, it's often a block or an impediment for clear seeing, right? I became so worried about the tick bite that I wasn't able to see clearly. Am I having the symptoms or am I not having the symptoms, right? It escalates. It's like our mind is escalating, it's spreading out of the thought. And it's looping. It's a kind of looping thing where it's repetitive in nature. And really, the world itself, our lives are, if we start to pay attention, it's always new and fresh. And when the mind thinks, or when the mind is in a kind of habit where it's a story, an old story that we've told a million times, we've somehow veered away and moved out of contact with reality, with how it is. So this looping thought, it can be compulsive. It's a little bit like a habit. It can be a habit. Do you have any habits like this, right? Like the mind just habitually starts to spin its weave, its web. It's a habit. I was thinking about this. It's like a vinyl on a record. Remember old-fashioned record? And you put the needle on it, and because of the groove in the record, the music plays. And this is right, like the mind can get in a groove. It can be a habit, and then the music plays, and it might be something you've heard so many times, or it might be something you've heard from your good friend or your spouse so many times. It's like a rehashing, it's not fresh. And then when I was telling my husband this story about the vinyl, this metaphor, he's like, oh, it's also like if the record got a scratch, it would just skip back, right? Like it would play. Remember this? It would skip back. And this is like our mind. It keeps skipping back and going back to this story. It keeps putting us back where we were. So we can be consumed by nonstop mental chatter that is a block, that's a block or an impediment to clarity and presence. Did that ever happen to you? Like you're so caught up in the thinking minds. Like sometimes I might, like I feel like this is a grocery shopping example, which is a weird thing that's coming to my mind, but there it is. Like go into the grocery store and so consumed in the mind about something that I don't actually see what's in front of me. This can happen all the time. The mind seems to be running itself. It's kind of chattering on and on, and it feels reflexive. It feels uncontrollable. Sometimes it is uncontrollable in a sense, unless we start or when we start to work with it. So it's a spreading out of thinking that's the generation of thoughts, stories, and narratives that are rooted in underlying patterns of confusion. Do you ever notice that? Right? Like these habits of thought are rooted in patterns of confusion, and these patterns of confusion affect color and distort our capacity to see things as they really are. And papancha, it can be quite seductive. It is seductive to feel outraged or self-righteous, isn't it? Aren't those stories somewhat seductive? It has a seductive quality. It's like chewing a piece of gum. Like the first couple chews are so yummy, but do you really want to chew that gum for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Not so much. So, a synonym for nibbana. Do you know nibbana? Nibbana means awakening, right? This cessation or awakening. Let's call nibbana awakening. So, a synonym for nibbana is nipapancha. Which means the mind that has stopped the spreading of thought. The mind that has ceased its spreading of thoughts. That is a synonym for awakening. Rest your exhausted mind. So, what is it like to allow the mind to rest? What is it like, the space between the thoughts, between the stories? What is the space between fears? Sometimes we forget to even notice this, right? Like, we forget to notice what is the space between our obsessions, between our cravings, between our aversions. So the resting mind in those gaps, the resting mind is present, often engaged, curious, creative, open, kind of like in some ways simple. I don't mean simplistic, but simple, just present. So papancha can cause, I won't say can, I will say does. Papancha causes conflict within our relationship with ourself, others, and the worlds. So I was having a disagreement with a friend recently, and I could say for 100% certainty that my mind looping on the problem was causing more discord. Right? It wasn't helping us resolve the conflict or come back into intimacy. Right? Papancha causes conflict within our relationships, whether it's a relationship with ourself or with others or this world. So when our thinking is not clear, so really I'm talking about when our thinking is not clear because it's on some sort of rote, it's on some sort of groove, a track. When the thinking is not clear, the thoughts spread like wildfire and consume our consciousness and block anything else like creative solutions or clear seeing. When we are consumed in papancha, curiosity and kindness have often, if not always, just completely flown the coop. They've disappeared. And then I would also note, I've been thinking about this, how collectively, it's like we're in a collective papancha right now, like a collective spreading of our thoughts, taking something and running with it. This thing happened, so then that means this thing will happen, and it's only bound to get worse. This is in our news, it's in our social media feeds. And again, it's not about not caring. Like, remember the tick story. It's not about, I'm going to go to the doctor. I did go to the doctor, right? You take care of it. But this spreading of the thoughts, it's sort of snowballing, and it blocks our capacity to be able to respond, this appropriate response to the moment. So there's a collective papancha, there's generational papancha. And all I mean by this is that we are often handed down from our family, carried in our genes, these stories. We are handed up from our culture these stories. So we might think, oh, that papancha, I'm such a bad Buddhist. I have so much papancha. Do you know what? Is that really true? I'm not sure that's actually really true. That's another little proliferation of a thought. It's not so personal. It's part of what it is to have a human mind. It proliferates. So our news, much of it is a proliferation. This happened, but then we elaborate, we say, be afraid, and it's only going to get worse. And it's easy to hear about papancha and get a little sidetracked in our own mind, think to ourselves, oh, I shouldn't really have papancha, or I've been meditating for 2 years now, 2 decades now, 10 decades, maybe 4 decades now. I shouldn't have this type of thinking. Or how about this one? How about this one? Are you familiar with this one? I will become happier when I can get rid of this kind of thinking. If I could only get rid of this kind of thinking, then I would be a better person. So instead of going into that little rabbit hole, let's instead bring awareness to the whole matter. So this quality of attention, of mindfulness, we can bring it to the whole thing and see what's happening when it's happening. So that we can tend to ourselves and tend to, if it's about a relationship, tend to the relationship. Right, so that we have more capacity to reduce suffering for ourselves and for others. And then with media, how much do you want to take in? I'm not suggesting that you stop taking in media, but I am suggesting that some of it is not so wholesome and that you can be choiceful about how you take it in and notice how it's impacting your body and your mind. So it's not about pretending that there's nothing wrong. It's not about that. It is, though, about not getting stuck in it, stuck in pessimism, nor stuck in optimism. Just clear, seeing what's here, the great kaleidoscope, the great flux of this life. So, I was imagining that we could play during meditation. I didn't tell you this, but I was imagining during meditation we could play a game. Like we all have our own bingo cards, and we'll see who can fill up their bingo card with papancha ticks first, right? That's like a funny sort of Buddhist competition. Like, oh, I win the bingo papancha prize, right? And all I mean by this is to bring a little humor to the situation, a little humor and humility about the whole thing. So there are different tones of papancha. So I have five. There might be more. There might be more. I like outrage, so I call outrage six, but I didn't see outrage in the sort of classical Theravadin list. Outrage is a tone of papancha. But anyway, so the first one we have is craving or tanha, lobha, papancha. And I'm going to go back through these and talk about them a little more. The second one, dosa or hatred or aversion or ill will, papancha. The third one, bhaya, is fear, papancha around fear. And the fourth one, papancha around ditti, our view, like our views. And the fifth one, papancha around manas, or the story of me, the story of moi. So the first one, papancha around craving. So this is like, the mental proliferation around fantasy about what we're going to get, what we're going to achieve, all of the stories. It often can arise from if something beautiful has happened. Like one time, this was a long time ago, but I got offered a job, a teaching job, and I got so excited about it. And before the end of the day, in my mind, I'd already sold my house and moved somewhere else because of this like potential t right? Like this kind of like it's very pleasant sometimes it can be to go into this fantasy about what it's going to be like in the future, this proliferation, this habit mind about anticipation about what is yet to come. I also get a lot of in the springtime. Maybe you get this too if you're a gardener. I get a lot of gardening papancha. Like, oh, I'm going to plant this and the flowers are going to grow. And like, whatever your mind, right? Like, we get caught up in. And it's again, like, we do need to have some level of planning. I don't mean for us to be militaristic in our minds, but just to notice these tendencies is a good place to start. Like, oh, like, notice, like, okay, so I'm excited about springtime. That's a beautiful thing. And there is a sense of some mental proliferation here that's going on about the stories. What we need to become. Sometimes we tell ourselves that we need to become something different, like or that we're going to have the perfect holiday or the perfect vacation or the perfect springtime garden, whatever it might be. So this flavor of papancha that has a quality of craving or thirst. Okay, and then the other one, the next one is ill will or aversion. It's kind of the opposite, right? So this is maybe the tendency to think about the people we have trouble with a lot, to fixate on what's flawed and broken and imperfect, whether it's inward or outward. We can fixate on failed relationships. We can fixate and tell stories and proliferate on everything we dislike about ourselves, about others, and the world. We can fixate. So, say there's a train, like you're trying to catch a train to go somewhere, or a bus or airplane, and then there's a delay. And instead of just being like, oh, there's a delay and that's unpleasant, the mind will then tell a story about how what it means about the state of the world and all the other people that are delayed and those reasons why, right? Like, so this kind of mental proliferation around it. It's so automatic for many of us, right? It's just an automatic thing that's happening. Okay, so then the third one is proliferation or papancha around fear. Stories of instability and uncertainty. These right now are super tricky for me. Are you having this too, right? In the world, climate change and the politics, right? So, but also health. Like we can get really anxious about our health, about the world crumbling out of control, about being fearful about making mistakes, about becoming too visible or being invisible. So, right, like this papancha around fear. And the next one is a papancha around views. I should be like this. You should be like that. And by the way, I'm just explaining all of these to bring more attention to them, to shine the light on them. Because often, once we have a name for something, then we can see it happening more, and we can see the results of it happening, and we can start to have more choice around the papancha. Because so often, it feels really one, compelling, and two, like we don't have much control about over it. But once we start to see it, like, oh, I'm in papancha around fear right now. This is fear. Fear. So then we can start to hold ourselves in kindness. We can start to tend to ourselves. Okay, so the fourth one, papancha around views. Views about life, about people, who people we agree with, people we don't agree with. We have a lot of unconscious views about stuff that we might not even know until they rub up against somebody else's differing view. And so the Buddha said that there is probably no greater cause of argument and dispute and conflict and suffering than holding tightly to views and opinions. No, there's probably no greater cause of argument, dispute, conflict, and suffering than holding so tightly to views and opinions. We divide the world into us and them. We cling to our views, and it can block our generosity and compassion. With our clinging to views, we create ourself and we create the other. And again, this is not about getting rid of all views, but it is about that attachment to them, that self-righteousness, that holding on to those views. And then the last one is Manas, the story of me. Well, I am a very intellectual person, or I am a not very smart person, or I am like this, or my body is like that. Like all these views around ourself, the story of me, about who we are, about what is possible, what is not possible, about our shame, about our hope, about our ambitions, about our body, about our minds. And these can be inherited. Again, they can be inherited from our family. They can be inherited from our culture. So this is a little bit why I was saying maybe this talk should be called the Papancha Factory, right? So what do we do? What do we do about this situation of Papancha? How do we work with ourselves? I read on the internet today that the average person, this is according to AI, You might have some views about that. Do you have a rant about that? Anyway, so the average person has between 12,000 and 60,000. This is a huge range, but at any rate, the average person has between 12,000 and 60,000 thoughts per day. So the exact number depends on the study. So basically, the mind thinks like the stomach digests. So first of all, I would say, if anything, is a big takeaway for us with this topic is mindfulness, this quality of attention that just notices, oh, I have a story going right now. I have a mental loop going on right now. I have an obsession going on right now. So the mindfulness, right, is the first step, and maybe even sometimes the last step or the last thing, the only thing we need to do, because mindfulness itself is so powerful. It's this quality of attention that's non-judgmental, that sees what's happening. So I have a particular favorite Papancha rant about the food at the grocery stores where I live. I live in a small town in Northern California, and I have this particular rant, which now, when I notice it's coming on, it comes over me. When I notice it coming on, I can't stop it if I don't notice it's coming on. So this quality of mindfulness, like, oh, I'm noticing, oh, here it comes again. It's coming like the papancha, the loop. It's like the scratch on the record. It keeps putting me back. So the mindfulness, this is non-judgmental awareness. This is the key. This is the key. And then I think also can be really helpful is a pausing practice. Have any of you ever worked with a pausing practice before? Right, we can just pause. Yeah, quite a few of you. Like, we can just pause sometimes. Like, oh, it's like the gap, mind to the gap. This little gap, a little pause can be so helpful. So the discursive mind, the busy, worried, caught up, spaced out mind, it is very powerful. So we need powerful practices to support us. So we have mindfulness, we have a pausing practice, and I don't know if you noticed, but mindfulness and pausing practice are kind of different ways of saying the same thing. It's the same. Pausing is a mindfulness pause. We can remember that the papancha, that the stories that the mind creates, that it's not personal. This can be really helpful to remember that, because so often we might blame ourselves or judge ourselves or blame the other person. It's really how the mind works. You can just remember that. Oh, yeah, it's not so personal. This is, I'm sure though, your papancha is probably better than my papancha, right? Like, it's just a thing that the mind does, but it's not so personal. It's how we all have these tendencies, these habits. So I think another really helpful thing, another practice, not a perfect, a practice is kindness and compassion. Like, oh, here I go again. So how can I support myself? Do a little internal self-talk, like, okay, Ashley, or good job, or taking a breath, or a hand on the heart. This is going to look different. A hand on the heart works really well for me. I'm a white woman of a certain age. That's my training. Maybe hand on the heart to you feels like the weirdest thing in the whole world. So how does kindness express for you? Kindness towards yourself in the papancha, and maybe kindness to other people too. In the papancha. So kindness and compassion. I think it can also be helpful to set boundaries with ourselves. Sometimes I feel like this one is a little tricky because, in general, in our culture, for many people, there's a tendency to be quite harsh with ourselves. And so setting a boundary with ourselves can sometimes turn into a kind of internal harshness that's not actually a boundary out of kindness. It's a boundary out of judgment. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense to you, the difference. So when my mind recently, when my mind starts in the little rant, the outraged rant about food in my small town, it's often in conversation with other people. Now what I've started doing is just stopping. Because I know from experience, it's not healthy, it's not wholesome, it's not where my mind, where I want my mind to be. It's like the bathtub drain, like going down the bathtub drain. So when I noticed that, I set a little boundary with myself. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stop. There's certain people that's harder with because they'll like collude with me. And I'll collude with other people too, with their papancha, right? Like this sort of thing. And it's a little harder sometimes. Like, okay, no, I'm not gonna do that. And it's not out of judgment, it's out of care for this system, this precious system, right? So setting boundaries with ourselves. We can also, for papancha, work with our curiosity. We can question our assumptions. We can remember impermanence. The papancha itself is impermanent. The situation that we're focusing on is also impermanent. We ourselves are impermanent. We can remember impermanence. We can have a little humor, sometimes laughing at ourselves, like the bingo card in our meditation, which I didn't give us, but right, like just poking a little fun at ourselves. And again, not in a mean way, right? But if there's actual humor about it. And some patience, oh, this is a good thing to practice too, patience. And then also getting help. So instead of colluding with each other and encouraging each other in our papanchas, I don't know if it's plural like that, like English is, but in our papancha, instead of colluding with each other, maybe we can remember to support each other in letting go of the papancha. And now, this isn't something you do to someone who's not agreed to it ahead of time or doesn't know what you're talking about, but really, a friend that you have some agreements with that you've talked about this, like, oh, let's support each other in this way. Like my husband and I sometimes will do that. I'm like, oh. It has to be delicate, right? Like we have to be delicate, but getting support can be really helpful from our friends. And sometimes getting support from mental health care providers really is super helpful. We can't always unravel these things on our own. They came not on their own, and we need help to help let them dissipate. So getting help, a therapist, a good therapist help. Together we can go far. And then the last thing, which I find really helpful, I'm sure there's probably a million other things too that you all know, but for me, something that can be really helpful when the papancha is strong is to do something quite physical, whether a yoga practice or a hike. And I realize that's quite privileged because not everybody has a body that can do something quite physical. So, but that can help for some of us. So, from Pema Chodron, you get so caught up in the content of your life, the minutiae that makes up a day, so self-absorbed in the big project you have to do, that the blessings, the magic, the stillness, and the vastness escape you. You never emerge from your cocoon, except for when there's a noise that's so loud you can't help but notice it, or something shocks you or captures your eye. Then, for a moment, you stick your head out and realize, wow, look at that sky. Look at that squirrel. Look at that person. All right, my friends, that's what I have for you this evening. Thank you. Thank you.